whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today. It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah. Got the club going up on a Tuesday. It's another 5 hour KM to AM, yurt. Paulie, let's go, man. Let's have some fun. 888-808-1019. Talking about John Mara and Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. That's not fun. Talking about the Jets and misery and always sucking and thinking that they're not going to be able to figure it out ever. That's not fun. Talking about the Knicks coming off a winning streak, losing a few games, worst loss of the season. That's not fun. Talking about the Rangers, that's not fun. Baseball conversations will happen tonight. I don't know. I'm going to try and force some conversation around the college football playoff and the NFL wild card weekend because I'm trying to have fun on the radio for 5 hours. It's not supposed to be a straight up therapy session, taking calls from Jets fans, Giants fans, complaining like the season is over. You just made it through the hard part. Now it's time to dream. 888-808-1019. We'll start there, right? Last night, I probably took 90% of calls on the Giants. The state of the Giants, 100 years of the Giants, a miserable season, one win at home, zero wins in the division, and you keep the GM and you keep the head coach, and John Mara comes out there and he just looks absolutely stuck. Stuck in the mud. Stuck with two bad kids that he wants to disown, but he can't. They're his kids. And because of the past, because of his own mistakes, he doesn't want to make those mistakes again. So he's literally stuck between a rock and a hard place with Shane and Daboll. It is what it is. Good for them. They survived Black Monday and Black Tuesday. Many did not. I remember being on last night talking about how Antonio Pierce survived. He pulled up in his Raiders starter jacket, still repping the gang. The silver and black, you got to go. We talked to Tom this morning. Tom Brady said, AP, you got to go. We got to get an actual coach in here. The gimmick is up. Because you know what? Mark Davis, as much as you know, he gets made fun of, I mean, they sell out. They're raising tickets out there in Viva Las Vegas. He's been doing this for a long time. And he does have Tom Brady. Like, they understand you need results. You got to win. Even Robert Kraft, who was criticized, oh, Gerard Mayo, he came out like right away, immediately, faced the music, got on a microphone in front of cameras, said, this is on me. I put him in an untenable situation. But we all know that they're going to interview who they got to interview so they can get to Mike Vrabel. 888-808-1019. And, you know, with the Jets and Giants, they're in two different situations. Regardless of how you feel about how the season went and what's to come, again, it's time to dream. For Giants fans, you can't dream about a new GM or a new head coach, but you can dream about a quarterback. You could also potentially dream about just picking the best player available. And that's where I kind of got to late last night, and that's where I want to start today. We talked all about what John Mara had to say. You know, what I liked the most was that he could take a joke and return a joke. As far as the Unisom commercial with Saquon Barkley, I like that he was prepared and made a joke about, oh, I talked to Saquon. He should have had me in the commercial. I could have been tossing and turning. But his franchise is a joke. Joe Shane is a joke. I've never seen a guy more confident than Joe Shane with nothing to really stand on besides, oh, I had a solid draft class for one of the worst teams in the NFL, a glorified college team. We had like 5 or 6 guys that started for us. I guess that's okay. I wouldn't say it's necessarily good. And they still have to harken back to Brian Daboll winning Coach of the Year 2 years ago. I mean, Shane got rid of a lot of those guys that he won with and kind of led you down the road of paying Daniel Jones, cutting Daniel Jones. Like, the Giants have been a laughingstock in the NFL. And I know Giants fans are hurt. They don't want to hear it. They definitely don't want to hear it coming from me, and I understand that. But the league is laughing at John Mara because of the revolving door that he had that has led him into being stuck with this GM and this head coach with a terrible record over the last 2 years and a comedy of errors, a ton of mistakes from how they handled Daniel Jones to going to Tommy DeVito out of the bye week without telling Tommy DeVito that he would be the starter. He had a whole week to do that. Paying Drew Lock $5 million, not giving him the nod right away. Losing for 10 weeks straight. Quote unquote tanking and then not tanking. And then John Mara coming out. If I thought they were tanking, I would have fired those guys. They tanked the last game in Philadelphia. What were some of those decisions on fourth down? What were some of those decisions? Malik Nabers disappeared for a while, came back into the game, came out of the game. You're playing Tanner McKee and a bunch of randoms, but that's over with. Where we are now is, these guys have to win the fan base back. I don't think they're going to win a lot of games. When you look at their schedule, their strength of schedule, they have the toughest strength of schedule in 2025. They will be hosting. If you think they had a hard time winning home games until they ran into Shane Steichen and the unserious Colts team with Joe Flacco and a bunch of guys that didn't show up to meetings and didn't show up to tackle anyone at MetLife Stadium, if you think they had a tough time winning in East Rutherford last year, well, you're going to welcome in Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. You're going to welcome in a few different playoff teams, the Packers, Jordan Love. It's going to be uphill. So how do you win the fan base back in the offseason and in the draft? 888-808-1019. I think they have a ton of cap space. I got to go back to my notes from last night. But I think it's something like $36 million this year and then $100 million the next year. So that is where you start to dream. That's where you start to think. You can come out of this darkness. It's always darkest before dawn. I think you just had the year. That was dawn. And these guys survived and they're still here. So what do they have to do to win back the fan base? They have to have a masterful offseason and a masterful draft. Joe Shane, I'm looking at you. Joe Shane, who pretends he never heard of WFAN. You should. Maybe you should tune in. Listen to your fan base. Listen to the people that didn't show up to the games at the end of the year. Listen to the people that are embarrassed. Listen to the people that are ashamed, that just want to win, just want to enjoy Sundays. It can't anymore. A proud franchise that has Super Bowls and legends and celebrated them this year, but couldn't celebrate anything this year except Malik Nabers. Congrats. Like, Malik Nabers looks like Ja'Marr Chase 2.0. In the year that Ja'Marr Chase wins the Triple Crown, it looks like you got the next guy to win one. 888-808-1019. But he needs a quarterback. He needs somebody that can consistently throw him the ball. He shouldn't be catching passes from four different quarterbacks. He needs consistency, rhythm. He needs to be able to expect the ball. Imagine how good he'll be with an actual quarterback. Now that you botched the number one pick, I'm kind of off using that pick for a quarterback. I think you do one of two things. You don't reach or trade up to try to get Shador Sanders or Cam Ward, because all we've been hearing now is these guys aren't NFL quarterbacks. Cap, nonsense. And if you think that Cam Ward and Shador Sanders can't help the Giants, you're nuts. If you think that those two kids right now aren't better than the quarterbacks that they had playing for them this year, you're crazy. Take Travis Hunter. If you're there at three, take the best player available. Take the Heisman Trophy winner. Take a kid that's going to be an instant star here. A kid that was just here and won the Heisman and went viral. A kid who's got millions of followers on Twitter, on Instagram. A kid whose number 12 jersey, can he wear number 12? Yeah, he can wear number 12. Number 12 jersey will sell, right? You need stars. You lost Saquon Barkley, another one of the comedy of errors, as he might lead Philadelphia to the Super Bowl. How do you move on from that, right? How do you move on from losing leaders in the locker room like Xavier McKinney or Leonard Williams or Sterling Shepard? You go get a new age of leaders. A kid from Colorado that didn't make cleats with the New York logo on him. But a kid that'll come here motivated to try and play both ways, and you have a need for both positions that he plays. 888-808-1019. Get him in the weight room a little bit. He's got to bulk up a little bit. But if you've seen this kid run, if you've seen this kid hoop, like, if you got to look up his basketball highlights, he's a pure athlete. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't party. He's a goofball. He does TikTok dances. with his girlfriend. Yeah, she's pretty famous too. I'd be looking to draft that kid. And if you're not looking to draft that kid, then trade back and see what quarterbacks fall in that first round. And maybe from pick 34, you can trade out of the second round back into the first round and strike then. Don't let it be Jalen Milroe. But maybe it could be Jackson Dart. 888-808-1019. That's where I'm at with the Giants. Giants fans, dream of coming out of this shame, this misery, this darkness. You're stuck with these guys, and not just for 1 year. Because if they do get a quarterback in the first round, which they're more than capable of doing with the number 3 overall pick and 34th overall pick, they're going to need time to develop that quarterback. They're going to need time to see it through. And that's the saving grace, right? Complete the holy trinity of GM, head coach, quarterback. Darius Slayton was quoted saying, these guys deserve to get their quarterback in here. 888-808-1019. As far as the Jets are concerned, do not double back. Rex Ryan is not the answer. The NFL changes so fast. It evolves so quickly. And I know he's been over there at ESPN covering the game, but he's been out of the game for a while now. He's been out of the game for some time now. I heard a kid call a fan today that said he was 8 years old. He's 20 now. Like, he was, you know, reminiscing about the great times with Rex. I'm like, oh. Dream bigger. Dream for better. You should want for more. Don't double back. I don't think you should double back with Rex. I don't think you should double back with Aaron Rodgers either. I don't think any GM coming in here, it's already not a job that everybody wants, right? We already heard Ben Johnson's not interested. And with all of the articles and things about Woody Johnson, it's not that attractive of a job. So whatever GM comes in, whatever head coach comes in, they're going to want no nonsense. Aaron Rodgers, I'm glad you got to ride off into the sunset and had the record and that last game and a win. And now you're posting pictures in black and white of you and Davante Adams, because we know if you go, Devontae's going to want to go as well. But for the Jets, move on and move forward. It didn't work with Aaron Rodgers. And ultimately, it didn't work with Rex Ryan. And that's so far in the past. It's 2025. We're halfway through this decade. Jets fans deserve better. And you could do better. And that's why they're interviewing everyone on God's green earth to try and figure this out. Because you know what? You cast a wide net. You can't mess this up. You only interview one or two people, then you're more likely to make a mistake. 888-808-1019. I think the Jets have to take a hard look at Brian Flores. All this talk about their defense and some of the players on their defense and how this team was such a great dominant defense and they were just a quarterback away, that's not true. I would take a hard look at Brian Flores because he's from the area and obviously he's not going to be over there with the Giants. I'd take a hard look at Brian Flores because he has head coaching experience in the division with the Miami Dolphins. I'd take a hard look at the guy because he's a no-nonsense guy and he's quiet, right? Rex is loud. The Jets got to move in silence. Enough already, right? You want a no-nonsense, closed-mouth guy that's just going to come in and work and tighten up this thing. 888-808-1019. I would not double back with Rex Ryan as a head coach that's done it before. No. You think Brian Flores doesn't know what it takes? You think Brian Flores won't come in here with his head coaching experience looking to tighten up this defense and then let him and the GM decide what they want to do with Aaron Rodgers? I bet they decide to move on. I bet they decide that they can figure it out without the presence of Aaron Rodgers, the legacy of Aaron Rodgers, the media magnet that Aaron Rodgers is. So dream bigger. It's time for Jets and Giants fans to stop living in this woe is me, doom and gloom. We suck. When are we going to be like the rest of the NFL? When are we going to come out of it? You can in the near future if the right decisions are made. Call me up, 888-808-1019. We'll start there. And we'll try to get some of the football conversation out of the way. Like I said, last night, I think I took 90% of calls on the Giants and some on the Jets. Of course, we're going to talk about, you know, Darren Rizzi. We're going to talk about some of the firings and stuff like that. But, like, I can't do 5 hours on John Mara, Joe Shane, Brian Daboll. I can't do 5 hours on the Jets GM and head coaching search. I got to talk baseball. I got the itch. I got the itch. It's the seventh day of 2025. In a month from now, these GMs, These managers, these players are going to be getting ready to ship down to Florida for spring training. We're this close. So at 8:30, Jim Duquette will join me. We'll talk a little bit of Mets, Yankees, warm stove, not even hot stove. And then after the game last night and the reaction from Knicks fans tripped me out. It's like, if this team isn't on a straight up rocket ship, would they win? Like 9 games in a row? If they don't just win every single game, if they don't just blow, like, listen, it's a bump in the road. You much rather have bumps in the road in January. I remember last January when the Knicks were beating everybody and everybody was proclaiming them champions of the universe. This team can't be stopped. Listen, you rather go through this now and make adjustments. You'd rather have high alerts now about your depth, about your minutes, about your head coach and his ways. The trade deadline approaches. The Knicks are going to be all right. They have a little bump in the road here, but they're going to be better than all right. And if they think that they're going further than the second round this year, they got to make some moves. They got to get some pieces back. And CP, the franchise, will return to the Fan to talk Knicks tonight at 9:20. So 888-808-1019. Let's get the football conversation in first. The first call I see is a college football playoff call. I'm definitely taking that. As we get ready for Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State, Texas, and there will be a ton of kids playing in those games that are going to be drafted and be NFL stars. So,
got any ideas that will work to help your favorite teams? Let them know about it by calling 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game live on Paramount Plus.
I might swear it, that corner, whoa. I'm like, yo, is this it? Instrumental, they got the instrumental out. Ball in the Family, shout out to Jello. Got the number one single on the interwebs. I might swear it, that corner, whoa. Like, that's all it takes? What an earworm. I think everybody that heard that little bit was like, what is this? Keith McPherson on the Fan. We're going to talk sports. We're starting with the football, but I guarantee you we're going to talk baseball. We're going to talk basketball. Hell, at some point, Paulie and I are going to talk about the Devils, Rangers, NHL. It's a 5-hour KM to AM. Let's start with John in Lynbrook.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So really looking forward to these two semifinal games in the CFP. You know, Penn State fan myself, but I think they have a pretty good chance of, you know, going toe-to-toe with Notre Dame winning. Not so sure about the national championship, but I'm just really looking forward to seeing, you know, like these kids come out and help improve their draft stock. Two of them I'm looking forward to are seeing Aller and Quinn Ewers. Do you think if these guys do enough on tape that they could move up the ranks in the quarterback jockeying, you know, for like a first round pick, like a top five?
Absolutely. It's right there for him. When you talk about Drew Aller, all the reports coming out now, and this is what happens after the season. And as we're looking at tape and more people come out, all the reports are saying that, you know, even though he stated he wants to return to Happy Valley, you know, he could declare for the draft if he has a strong showing in this next game. He already had a strong showing against Boise State as I was watching him. I'm like, why would he be going back? This kid is putting the ball where he wants it. Man, some of the throws he made into the end zone, I'm like, those are NFL throws. Sam Darnold couldn't make those throws Sunday night.
Yeah, 1,000%. So, like, he had, let's say he puts a good tape out there. Now, all of a sudden, if he doesn't want to come back because he's already a preseason Heisman, like, and he's already proven everything and he's gone far enough.
It's about money. It's about money. You know, the other narrative with Quinn Ewers is that Sark and the Longhorns, they're ready for the Archie Manning era. And if he comes back, they're ready, you know, to move on. And so he would have to transfer. And with the transfer portal, there's rumors that he could get paid anywhere from $6 to $10 million to go to another school, another big-time college football program. And, I mean, he had a hell of a showing late in that game against Arizona State that people weren't talking about. Like, honestly, Cam Scatabu kind of stole the MVP from him because he had a great overall game. But, like,
yeah,
Quinn Ewers balled at the end of the game, could have got that. So, yes, there are draft implications. All of these kids are more plugged in than ever to the money and keeping their ears to business and the NFL. And all it takes is a good showing here in this final four round where if they hear from teams and agents and stuff, hey, you're going to get drafted in the first round. You should work out. You should go. How do you turn that down? I think it could, you know, persuade either Drew Aller or Quinn Ewers both to enter the draft because now we're also hearing, oh, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders aren't first-round quarterbacks, which is nonsense to me, but that's what happens.
Right, 1,000%. And here's another part to this. Let's say Drew does declare for the draft. Now, he's already said that he's staying, and his backup, Bo Pribula, had to transfer because of the whole portal rule. So can he like go back to Penn State, or is he like locked in at Missouri now?
I don't think he can go back. I don't know for sure. It's the wild, wild west. He probably could go back, but so what? You know,
tough situation.
I was talking about it the other night. I'm like, they got to create some type of rule. You can't go into the portal and then come back. Like, it's got to be a hard stance. And like, you can't transfer every single year. These kids are coming in the NFL. They're going to have three different colleges. They're going to be doing the intros. Keith McPherson, Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is. And it's like you said, but it's such an unprecedented thing because, like, he had to declare before, you know, the football season was over after Drew said that he's coming back. But now if he goes to the NFL, like, you know, this kid misses out. And
it's tough. So what? So
tough,
be it. You know,
tough.
All these kids are ducking the smoke. They're all ducking the grind. That's why I got a ton of respect for Archie Manning and the Manning family. They basically told Archie, that's where you committed. That's where you signed your letter of intent. Stay. You're not transferring. Sit on the bench behind Quinn Ewers or beat him out.
Yeah. No, I mean, like I'm saying, like, I think these kids' stocks are going to rise. And I'm really looking forward to all the talent. I mean, Abdul Carter, Ty Warren, Kelvin Banks Jr. Like, all these guys have so much to prove. Ewers. Like, all these guys. So, you know, like I said,
it's going to be great football in the middle of the week for us. Thanks for the call, John. 888-808-1019. We will get Penn State, Notre Dame, 7:30 on Thursday. We will get Texas, Ohio State, 7:30 on Friday. And then we'll go into Super Wild Card Weekend. Don't you just love American football? I know I do. Pablo's in Dover, New Jersey, next up on the fan. What's up, Pablo?
Keith, man, how you doing tonight?
I'm in here, you know, 5 hours locked in.
Living the dream, man. Appreciate you taking the call.
Yes,
real
sir.
Quick, wanted to talk about the Giants. Out of all the takes I've heard, man, and this one, it took me about a day or two to get to. You're 100% spot on. The Giants at three, it's a blessing in disguise. Hear me out. The quarterbacks are going to go 1-2. It's a given. Tennessee needs a quarterback. Cleveland needs a quarterback. The Giants are going to have the option of the best player on the board. The consensus is Travis and or trading back, getting additional assets. What that's going to do for the Giants is Mara made it clear. He is committing to this regime for another year. He didn't say the rest of the contract. If the Giants take a quarterback and they don't see tangible success, we're going to have the same situation with a new regime coming in and inheriting a quarterback that they didn't draft and messing this thing entirely up. So I think it's a blessing in disguise. We'll be patient, see what happens. But the last thing I want is for this regime to pick a quarterback, because if they don't have a measure of success, Mara's cleaning house next year and we're back to square one.
I'm right there with you. Let me take over from here. Thanks for the call, Pablo. Don't reach now. And I think we heard Joe Shane say that, like, he's going to build this the right way. He's not going to make any rash decisions to try and save his job. We all know the narrative is they haven't had their own quarterback, but they've made their own decisions with the quarterback room. They could have let Daniel Jones test free agency. They could have franchise tagged him. Go back. They could have picked up his rookie option. They didn't want to. I know he was coming off a neck injury, whatever, whatever. But, like, they evaluated him. You think they didn't watch film on Daniel Jones before they came to the Giants? They made a decision on him. They brought Tyrod Taylor in, an NFL starter, an NFL-ready, experienced player with athleticism and a strong arm. They brought him in, who knew the system before Daniel Jones, to compete with him in practice. And then when you were building this quarterback room, You ran it back with Tommy DeVito. Okay, I understand. Local guy, New Jersey guy. We're all rooting for him. Great story, but let's be for real. You didn't see enough from Tommy DeVito. Like, and even the narratives I was hearing on The Fan about, oh, yeah, here he comes, Tommy Cutlets. Let's see if he learns something from... He's undersized. He's not... And I don't want to, you know, trash on Tommy DeVito. I'm trashing on Shane and Dable. You chose to put him in your quarterback room. And then elevate him to QB2 after you moved on from Daniel Jones, signaling to the entire world that you were tanking. You were done. That was your best option at quarterback. And then you paid $5 million to Drew Locke. Why was Drew Locke the guy out of all the guys? And I know they showed us in Hard Knocks, but like Drew Locke isn't good. He gave you one of the greatest games ever from a Giants quarterback against the Colts, but he's not. Like he was never really a solid option. And when we watched Hard Knocks, you went and got Drew Locke. In anticipation of maybe Daniel Jones not being able to come back from his knee injury, it's all a mess. It was all mistakes. And, you know, I heard Shane pat himself on the back about, oh, I wouldn't change anything. I trust our evaluations. We evaluated other quarterbacks that went on to do great things elsewhere. Don't tell me about Jaden Daniels. Don't tell me about other quarterbacks that you looked at and you gave a good grade to and you couldn't get, or Drake May or whoever it is. You passed on a generational quarterback class last year. You couldn't get into the top three, but damn, doesn't Bo Nix look like he's an NFL player? Yeah, he got a ton of reps at Auburn, Oregon, playing big-time college football. His dad played at Oregon. His dad was his coach in high school. He was groomed and ready. Sean Payton was able to get that out of him. Oh, Michael Penix Jr. late in the season. You weren't interested in Michael Penix Jr.? Throwing the ball to Malik Nabers? Oh, that wouldn't have happened. So I guess that's what you have to tell yourself, Giants fans. If they would have taken a quarterback, even a J.J. McCarthy, there'd be no Malik Nabers. So that brings you to where we are now. You have to find a quarterback, but don't reach for one. If you had the number one pick, of course. You have the number one pick, you take a quarterback. Done. Simple and plain. Cam Ward or Shador Sanders. But now you're sitting at number three with the Titans, who are supposedly in love with Cam Ward, and the Browns, who just had a setback with Deshaun Watson, the masseuse madman. I don't know what he's doing out there. If you just scroll Twitter, I see hella videos pop up of him and his influencer girlfriend during the season. They're on different dates. He's buying her things. And I'm like, maybe that's how he had a setback in his Achilles rehab. He's on his feet too much. Aaron Rodgers didn't have a setback. Kirk Cousins didn't have a setback. J.K. Dobbins didn't have a setback. But Deshaun Watson did. What I'm saying is the Browns are going to have to draft a quarterback as well. 888-808-1019. Do not reach for Jalen Milrow or Jackson Dart at three. Take the best player available who's going to be an instant impact, whether he's a corner, which I think he should be a corner. The Giants kind of need corners. He should be a corner, and maybe you have some gadget plays for him. You have some packages for him where at least you just give off the look of like, oh, Travis Hunter's coming into the game, and then Malik Nabers is open down the right sideline. Corey's in Tom's River next up on The Fan. Hello, Corey.
Hey, what's going on, Keith? Good afternoon, bro.
Good afternoon, evening. It's dark outside now.
Yeah, true. That's true. First and foremost, bro, hook 'em horns. Let's go Texas this weekend. But real quick, man, the last 2 days, man, from this John Mara press conference, like, the narrative has been, you know, throughout the majority of, like, fan, like, radio hosts or whatever, that, like, Shane has been, like, a knockout when it comes to, like, his draft quality. You know, I heard Evan touch a little bit on, like, you know, the most success that we had was Dable with Gettleman's roster. And, like, real quick, like, I'm a diehard Giants fan, man. Like, I've been watching them now for, like, 20-something years, the ups and downs. I don't know where this, like, belief came that, like, these past two drafts have been successful. And, like, I hope you just give me, like, a little bit of latitude. I'm not going to go on and on. But, like, really, as I take, like, a look at him, like, first and foremost, his three first-round picks, Neal, Thibodeau, and Banks, I'm not impressed at all. I mean, Banks ranked 183 out of 221 starting cornerbacks this year. That's not impressive. I don't even need to touch on Neal because he needs to go. But, I mean, Thibodeau, like, if you want to talk about, like, a sophomore slump, like, dude, he's got the, you know, the prize for that. Jalin Hyatt had a pro football grade of 49. You know, John Michael Schmidt almost ranked dead last in starting centers. Eric Gray wasn't even ranked because he didn't even play enough. And then you look at his free agent signings, like, Singletary, not impressed. Campbell, not impressed. But what about the signings that he didn't have? Not to bring back Saquon. You know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that Mara pressured him to sign Jones. And, like, listen, it wasn't – I know they took a massive cap hit, but at the end of the day, it was okay because they had team control after year two. That's fine. But, like, at the end of the day, like, this roster is, like, I don't know where this belief is that, like, we bring in a quarterback and all of a sudden, like, it's sunshine and rainbows. Like, it's just not going to happen. And,
correct,
like, we saw some stocks last year. He was willing to give up the farm to trade with the Patriots to get May, but they wouldn't answer the phone. And now, like, look at May. Is that someone you would give up the farm for? Like,
maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he's pretty athletic, pretty good quarterback. Thanks, Corey. That was a lot. But I'll echo it. I did this exercise last night, going through Deontay Banks, John Michael Schmidt, Jalen Hyatt, Eric Gray from last year's draft, and then even going back 2 years ago, I had someone call me and say that he didn't scout the 2022 draft, that, like, those weren't his scouts. And I'm like, please, if you're a new GM, you're putting a stamp on it. You have enough time to watch film, to meet with players. Drafting Kayvon and Evan Neal at 5 and 7 with the amount of talent in that draft and the guys picked around them, those are misses. Wandale Robinson, not a game breaker. So I think what we've done is overinflate this most recent draft class because, yes, Malik Nabers, one of the best receivers in the league, a historic season for the Giants. I even tip my cap to some of the hosts on WFAN that were saying that this guy is going to be an all-time great for the Giants and he's going to be the best receiver in Giants history. Well, he's off to a hell of a good start. And then even when you look at the guys like Drew Phillips or Tyrone Tracy or, you know, Theo Johnson, those were hits. Those are absolute hits. So, and Tyler Newbin, what I'll say is they were hits because they were starters. And you hope that they continue to be foundations of this team and building blocks of this team. But they were hits on a team that won 3 games. Probably only should have won 2 games. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're on a glorified college team. Of course they could play. The team was without talent. And then as Giants fans, you have to watch Saquon go join a really talented team, rush for 2,000 yards, and might take that team to the Super Bowl. He'll face off this weekend against Green Bay, Xavier McKinney, a Giants team that could not pick the ball off for weeks, set like a 100-year record for the amount of weeks that they went without an interception in this NFL where everyone's pass-happy. Xavier McKinney was leading the league in interceptions at one point. You let him go. You traded away Leonard Williams to his preferred destination. But how come you didn't do that with Saquon? How come you didn't do that this year with Azeez Ojulari or Darius Slayton, right? All that talk last year about losing the locker room, man, you lost the locker room when you cut Daniel Jones this year. You lost the locker room when you shut Daniel Jones down and everyone in there knew Tommy DeVito's not going to lead us to victory against the Buccaneers. You got smoked. And that's another thing about the difference in the talent level. The first year, the Giants were in every game. Tip your cap to Wink Martindale. They certainly missed him. But they had enough talent to compete against other NFL talent. You're not supposed to get blown out in the NFL. That's why there's the witching hour. That's why the gambling lines are -3.5. They don't know. 1.5, they don't know. It's supposed to be close. All these guys are pros. So, like, that is a huge problem. That's an issue. Vinny's in Harlem. Next up on the Fan. What's up, Vinny?
Yo, what up, Chief? Yo, man, I don't know if I'm going to have enough time for all this, right? So I've been listening for a minute, so I'm just going to try to, like, give everything I've been thinking or wanting to say in the summary. You know, the shout-out, you know, Bronx Bomb is, like, that's where you my guy at, right? But when it comes to this Giant stuff, dog, like, I'm going to just start off with the whole joint. Like, when you talk about darkness, right, and this fan base is miserable, especially the older people, miserable, right? What's the darkness that you talk about with Shane and Dable? Like, we've been stuck in darkness for 10-plus years, brother. We were stuck in darkness with Jerry Reese. That wasn't his Super Bowl team that won. That was Ernie Accorsi's.
Yeah, this has been a decade. It's been a decade of, like,
Hold on, Keith, because I got some more stuff. I'm not done. Hold on, right? We were stuck in darkness then. We were stuck in darkness with Dave Gettleman, right? When you get a GM and a head coach to come to a bad situation for a rebuild, you're supposed to rebuild the team. Usually that goes with a stripping of the team, right? Especially when you talk about a lot of these players. Like, I love X. I hated the X move more than I didn't care about the Saquon move, but I hated the X move. And when X was on the Giants, nobody was saying Xavier McKinney was the best safety in football. Like, that's kind of my thing with, like, Saquon. Like, why do y'all keep harping on Saquon? Like, if he was on the Giants, he wouldn't be going for 2,000 yards.
He's your guy. So you drafted him number 2. Like he went to your division rival. Wouldn't you try to do something and not see that?
So what?
Your owner said he was going to lose sleep over him going to Philly. And that happened.
Cool. You can, but you're losing sleep for nothing. That's the point. That's why I said they're
miserable.
You're
not losing sleep for nothing. you're in a Unison commercial being roasted. Keith, you're laughed at.
Bro, but Keith, you care about getting laughed at. I care about winning, bro.
It's all in the same. You're getting laughed at because you can't win.
But who cares?
They had the worst record in the NFL over the last decade.
Keith, the league can laugh all day. You know why? Because half of them other dudes that's laughing, they ain't got no Super Bowls neither. So I don't care if you laugh. This is about long-term winning. This is about long-term.
So where is it? You feel like they're setting you up for long-term success?
Through a rebuild? Yes. Y'all sitting here talking about who we stripped of the team. It's a rebuild. Look, the problem with
I thought they were back, though. John Mara said they were back. They've been 9-26 since John Mara said they were back, right? They went to the playoffs, walking your trap, take over your trap. They won a playoff game. They were back.
That's fair. That's fair. And that's exactly what I was about to get to in my next point, because I don't want to hold you too long. I know you want to talk about baseball, right? But that's what I was about to get to with my next point. The reason this looks so bad is because they won a playoff game the first year they were here. That's the only reason y'all even care. That's the only reason any of y'all are so even miserable, because if they would have came here that first year and never won anything,
I'm not miserable. I think you might be miserable, Vinny. Like, thanks for the call, but like, what are you talking about, bro? Being laughed at is because you go to Germany and everybody wakes up to watch a global game and you lose to the Panthers in overtime with the $40 million quarterback that you paid in this rebuild. Being laughed at is letting Saquon go, where I'm turning on NFL game day. There's a big ass sign where Eagles fans are trolling you saying, thank you, Giants, Saquon 2K. Being laughed at is being the first ever offseason New York Giants Hard Knocks, baby. And you show everybody all of the mistakes that you made. And they make a Unison commercial, and they run those clips all season, and they laugh at you. Bill Belichick gets on Monday Night Football and said, oh, yeah, they used that money from Saquon to get a guard.
I do think one of the points Vinny made is that the first year with Dable and Shane in 2022, when they went 9-7, they won the playoff game in Minnesota, that screwed up everything.
So?
Because they were not supposed to be that.
No, he just said he wants to win. You won that year. You won 10 games.
But you're not supposed. But they weren't supposed. They didn't think they were going
to
win.
Supposed to. You're supposed to win. Because now they're resting on, he was coach of the year that year. So now you don't want that? He'd be gone if he didn't have that.
There was no way Mara, Shane, and Dable thought that team in 2022 was going to go 9-7 and win a playoff game. It's just no way. And that totally messed everything up.
That caused one of the better years in the last 10 years.
I understand that, but they didn't expect that. That cost them the Daniel Jones contract. In theory, it might have cost them Saquon Barkley, because you're not going to pay him that much money. So that year, when they won 9 games and they win a playoff game in Minnesota, and you paid Daniel Jones $160 million, whatever about the injury guarantee, put that on the side for a second. All that stuff was not supposed to happen. It ruined their plan.
Okay.
That's what it comes. It ruined their plan.
Okay, they were just supposed to lay down year one.
Not lay down, but flip
it. You can't reverse the years.
Flip it. They should have been 6-11 and then 9-10.
Man, we're making way too many excuses for grown ass men that make millions of dollars and put a product out there that's absolutely trash. That wasn't supposed to happen. It seemed like Giants fans had a lot of fun that year.
They did have a lot. They absolutely did have a lot of fun.
Because it got back to the expectation and the standard, right? I heard people calling in a fan, well, 9 wins. How did we win the Super Bowl? How many wins did we have? Might be on a...
But from a macro level, no. The fans are always going to want to win, right? The actual people in the front office, in that organization, there is no shot they thought they would be that good. There's no chance they thought they would be that good.
You better. We're talking about not tanking. We're talking about culture. We're talking about not losing the locker room. You better think you're going to be good. You better go out there and think you're going to win. Buckle your chin strap up. It's the NFL. This isn't Pop Warner football. What are we talking about, bro? Charlie's in New Haven, Connecticut. Charlie, you're on the fan.
Hey, Keith, thanks for taking my call. Listen, Joe Sean is an incompetent version of Worm Tongue. And he is whispering stupidity and incompetence into John Mayer's ear. And the whole Giant situation is way worse than anybody realizes.
It's dark. But, I mean, Vinny in Harlem says it's not dark. They're in a rebuild.
They need to be rescued. John Mara needs to be rescued from Joe Sean. It is your job as sports radio in New York. You need to be ringing the bell. It is time to rescue John Mara from Joe Sean. The guy is an idiot. He has no ability to evaluate talent.
Thanks for the call, Charlie. Joe Shane. And I think we are. I think we have been. I'm not a Giants fan. And I think there have been plenty of Giants fans that, I don't know, some fans on the fan picked them to win, I don't know, 10 games, picked them to be a lot better. What a disappointing year. That's darkness. That's pain. Losing 10 weeks in a row, that's pain. Not making the playoffs, after you made the playoffs, regressing, right? Picking a guy like Brian Daboll and hearing all this talk about Josh Allen and what he did with Josh Allen. What did he do with Daniel Jones? Daniel Jones regressed. Oh, Keith, he got hurt. Okay. He was hurt and he regressed and they didn't get the best out of him. But these guys survived it. I mean, if you want to be mad, don't be mad at me. Be mad at your organization. Be mad at your owner who's not confident in these guys but won't fire him. Who's not sure about these guys but just going through the motions. Just, all right, this is fine. We'll kick the can down the road. That's you who won't be able to enjoy a Sunday for years to come. You might get 3 Sundays of season that you can enjoy, and probably 2 of those or all 3 of those, you'll be wanting them to tank and lose anyway. Matt is in Lyndhurst. Matt, you're on the fan. Let's switch it for a second.
How you doing? Thanks for the call. Real quick, I want to make a quick Giants point just in response, but I got a really important point about Rex and the Jets. What screwed the Giants up was they didn't franchise Daniel Jones and sign Saquon. That's what they should have done. The rebuild would have been on track.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be having these conversations now. And that's why Shane should have went.
But that year they won. They went to the playoffs and won. They ran the hell out of Saquon. 30 carries a game. They need a first down. They need a 4th-and-1. Saquon. They need a 2-point play. Saquon. He was the heart and soul of the team. He said he wanted to be a Giant. They ignored all of that because Shane and Daboll live on these like principles and theories of how to build an NFL team, and it ain't working.
Right. Now let me get into my point about Rex Ryan and the Jets. Let me start out. I loved Rex. When he was first here and they went to back-to-back AFC championship games, I was part of that conversation when people were saying the Jets should make him the coach for life because we had never seen anything like Rex Ryan. But what people forget are those later years when they were making 15 penalties a game and when they would have the killer unsportsmanlike conduct or the late hit out of bounds that would extend a drive. The Tony Sperano as offensive coordinator, getting rid of Brian Schottenheimer and systematically dismantling the offense. They had no skill position players on offense. We were rooting for Jericho Cotchery as the number one outlet on that team. They took away the offensive line. They broke it down. And it was because Rex wanted these guys in the draft. If you watched Hard Knocks, and if you listen to the guys that he was talking about, like he made a big deal about John Connor, who had no NFL career whatsoever. Rex is the wrong guy.
The Terminator, yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in the bluster. And it's easy to remember the 2 AFC championship games and like they were a field goal away from the Super Bowl. But everybody forgets the fact that this team was so undisciplined and it was even worse than this past year where they were making all these penalties and shooting themselves in the foot. That was every game with Rex Ryan.
Thanks for the call, Matt. You can't hire Rex Ryan, but you interview him. And you string him along. I would have done the same with Bill Belichick. I would have interviewed him. I would have strung him along to gather intel, data, information. Rex, well, you know, tell us what the program was like when you were here and the Jets were winning. Tell us, you know, little things you used to say to the team. What was your mantra? Because, like, you know, all gas, no brakes didn't work. Give us some little, you know, insights to what worked here in Florham Park, New Jersey. Give us some details about what you did in your program that got the most out of these guys, where they did have pride on the field, where they did go out there and play like the goddamn New York Jets. And then I'd say, Rex, you know, thanks, but we're moving in a different direction. We're moving forward into the future. We'd like to keep you around potentially as an advisor or some keep you close, but you can't be the face of the franchise again. We're moving in a different direction. Thank you for interviewing. Thank you for lobbying for us, but like, the future of this franchise rests on the next person that they hire. And you don't have to double back. I hear a lot about the, you know, dating the ex. It's not even that. This isn't relationships. This isn't a girl. This is the leader of your franchise, a leader of men. for a franchise that hasn't gone to the playoffs in 14 years, that's another kind of darkness. Being the laughingstock, not just of the NFL, but all of professional sports. You don't even go to the playoffs. You have kids in high school that never saw the team go to the playoffs, but are wearing Jets hoodies. You know what I'm saying? They got to fix that ASAP. All right, one more before we go to the break. My guy Moose in Jamaica on the Fan.
Yeah, Keith.
Yeah.
What'd they do?
You know, taking calls, talking to fans. It's right back to where I was last night. Like I said, the Giants fans, they're confused. They're mad. The Jets fans as well are like, no, don't go back to Rex. We need better. And I'm like, this is supposed to be a happy time. The season's over. Let's dream. Positive energy.
And that's what I'm trying to provide with my Giants call and how it's a big offseason for Joe Shane. And from a GM's perspective, my opinion, I'm in agreement with you. Take the best player available. And that may even mean if Cleveland or Tennessee doesn't take a quarterback, either or, not meaning both. I'm pretty sure one of the quarterbacks is going to go. But if...
Deion could, not to cut you off, but we all know Deion could come in and say, we're not going to Ohio, baby. My son's not going to be a Cleveland Brown. That is a place where quarterbacks go to die. No, sir. Pass on him, and he's going to New York.
I don't feel comfortable giving up next year's first round.
You can't. It could be a top five pick with your strength of schedule. You can't give up that first round pick in 2026.
That's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take to flip-flop a spot or two.
No.
Because of the leverage of the value. That's how GMs work.
Can't do it.
Oh, man.
I wouldn't. No way in hell. I wouldn't do that because you could potentially draft a quarterback like a Jackson Dart in this draft and then next year be picking in the top 10 again and there are more quarterbacks coming out like an Archie Manning, which I don't think you're going to be able to get, but you might be able to get somebody else that's pretty good or better than this crop.
For sure. And with the $50 million in cap space and the maneuverability with the draft trading down in later rounds to pick up more depth on the offensive line. It's necessary for us to think that hope springs up eternal when it comes to the draft and even more so free agency with all the cap space we have. And maybe we can build a team that can win 7 to 10 games.
Yeah, $40 million this year, $100 million next year.
Steve, leave you with this. For example, let's say we don't take a quarterback. We take Travis Hunter, trade down, get offensive linemen, blah, blah, blah. We can pick up a Jimmy Garoppolo. You can't tell me he can't win 8 or 9 games.
There was just a whole showcase of quarterbacks. Now everybody's talking about Jimmy Garoppolo or Joe Milton. Justin Fields didn't get an opportunity to rock, but his name has popped up. Derek Carr says he refuses to take a pay cut. They might get him up out of there in New Orleans, depending on what they do. Like, there are going to be options with veteran quarterbacks, and I think that the Giants need a veteran and need to draft a rookie. It doesn't have to be in the first round, but they need a young guy in here that they like, and then they also need a proven NFL caliber starter, somebody who's started games in the NFL that they could at least run the offense with, feel confident that this guy can get the ball to Malik Nabers and hand the ball to Tyrone Tracy.
Well, Shelby, thanks for taking my call, Keith. Enjoy your day.
Thanks for the call, Moose. 888-808-1019. We got to take a break. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. Coming up at 8:30 is Jim Duquette. That is where we will start to bring in some of the Yankees and Mets offseason conversation, but still taking your calls on the Giants, on the Jets, as we are freshly into the offseason. Don't go anywhere. I'm coming right back.